Are you struggling to hire diverse tech talent? After all, every organization in the world is now a tech company, and the ability to attract, hire, and retain tech talent from all backgrounds is critical to their success. Enter Hackajob, a reverse marketplace that actively vets engineers. We flip the traditional model on its head, meaning companies apply to engineers versus candidates applying to jobs, with companies getting an 85% response rate to candidates they reach out to, as well as exposure to tech talent that directly meets their organization's diversity objectives. Companies such as S&P Global, CarMax, and Sensor Tower are all using Hackajob. Why not join them? Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today. Go to hackajob.com/cheese to get your free 30-day trial today.
Hide your kids. Lock the doors. You're listening to HR's most dangerous podcast. Chad Soash and Joel Cheeseman are here to punch the recruiting industry right where it hurts. Complete with breaking news, brash opinion, and loads of snark. Buckle up, boys and girls. It's time for the Chad and Cheese podcast.
Oh, yeah. Oh, shit. Halloween came early for Career Builder, but you still have a few weeks to put together that Beetlejuice costume. Ooh, everybody, you're listening to HR's Worst Nightmare. I'm your co-host, Joel Not Petya Cheeseman.
And I'm Chad Michael Myers Sowash.
And on this week's show, Dot Jobs grabs that cash money. Career Builder dumpster fire, the gift that keeps on giving, and iSims and Microsoft get maybe a little too cozy. Don't open that executable file, people. We'll be right back.
Sovereign Parser is the most accurate resume and job order intake technology in the industry. The more accurate your data, the better decisions you can make. Find out more about our suite of products today by visiting sovereign.com. That's S-O-V-R-E-N.com. We provide technology that thinks, communicates, and collaborates like a human. Sovereign. Software so human, you'll want to take it to dinner.
So, Friday the 13th or Halloween? Which one was your favorite?
Oh, probably Friday the 13th, because nothing's as entertaining as a bunch of horny teens getting stabbed to death. That's always a good scene. Yours?
How about a hot Jamie Lee Curtis? I was a huge Halloween fan. I mean, Michael Myers was just scary as hell, but Jamie Lee Curtis, she was the shit.
I missed Jason versus that whole movie back in the 80s. I think I was too old or too young. I don't remember.
Everybody yeah, did.
That was just the money grab. But yeah, the originals of both of those are pretty stellar. Pretty stellar.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's a question to the listeners. Which is your favorite, Friday the 13th or Halloween? Not the Rob Zombie Halloween. That was shit.
Do you think that's an appropriate LinkedIn poll? Could be.
That is. I think that's appropriate. Yes, I do. Shout out. First shout out goes to our friends Nicole Garotti, a.k.a. Social McCole, and Corey Kapner from RecruitX. They put together the HR for All Twitter discussion. Mm-hmm. I believe it's a weekly thing. I'm not 100% sure. Our names popped up a couple of times this week. I just noticed on Twitter. I started getting all these Twitter notifications. But thanks for the love, McCole and Corey. Everybody listening, just search hashtag HR for All if you want to get into the discussion.
Are you sure it's McCole and not Michael or Mick-O-Lay? It's a weird, like, she should do like the MySpace thing and make the I a Y. So it's sort of a throwback to the OG social media. Anyway, shout out for me to comedians. God damn it. I don't know if you caught the Bill Burr SNL last week. He pissed everybody off. I just got to say 2020, like,
that's what he does.
Let's have a laugh. Thank God for comedians. Kevin Hart's doing good shit. Jim Carrey, a lot of the old guard comedians are still doing it, and we need it in 2020 more than ever. So shout out to comedians.
Hell yeah.
Yes, we do. Shout out to Mindy Ruthenbeck over at The Mom Project and Ryan Ahmed at Tradeify. They love the podcast. Thanks for connecting and following on the socials and listening. Now tell all your peers, friends, and family to do the same. They can subscribe wherever they listen to podcasts and, of course, on ChadCheese.com, which is going to get a facelift sometime soon, Joel.
Hell yeah. More on
that later, kids. Shout out to Amon and Angela, Amon Burr and Angela, Boys in the Hood, in case you didn't know. If you didn't catch that podcast, it was released this week. Go check it out in the archives at ChadCheese.com, or again, like Chad said, wherever you listen to your podcasts.
It's also Allison Robinson, who is the CEO of The Mom Project. That podcast entitled Corporate America Hates Mom. Big shout out to Fred Goff, CEO over at Jobcase, who that man has his finger on the pulse of the working class market. For all of you who don't know Jobcase, they are a social-like job network for about 70% of the population. I mean, probably classified as working class. I'm sure Fred could give a better description than that. We're hearing the news about recovery. And Fred, again, having his fingers on the pulse, he's talking about the K-shape, right? Which is much different than a V-shape recovery. And here's his quote, because I think it's important for us to understand that different cohorts of people, the rich versus middle class and poor, are recovering much differently. So here's Fred's quote. The investor class is protected just fine by the coordinated Fed and Treasury action. And by the way, just so everybody remembers, the stock market does not reflect the economy. So again, the investor class, workers are left increasingly behind. For example, Reuters reported last week that 2,000 billionaires. God, I can't believe we have that many fucking billionaires. 2,000 billionaires increased wealth in 2020 by over 25% to the north of $10 trillion. Meanwhile, just a few weeks ago, the Aspen Institute estimated up to 40 million Americans may be evicted with extraordinary benefits that are going to run out. So kids, understand that when we're talking about recovery at this point, yeah, it is scary as shit for middle class and low wage workers. Not so much for those wealthy fuckers.
Ain't nothing but a Fred G thing, baby. And in light of that, shout out to jobless claims. We are inching back to 1 million. This week's report outpaced numbers from what was expected. So we're getting back into that million number, Chad. Time to get excited. Shout out to jobless claims in the U.S.
Again, K-shape. Well, let's go ahead and let's try to live this up a little bit. Talk Push took a swing this week on social media at HireVue, which I thought was hilarious. In a LinkedIn post, our buddy Max Armbruster, the CEO of TalkPush, posted, and here's paraphrased, TalkPush now speaks to more than 10 million candidates every year. It took HireVue 15 years to reach 10 million candidate interviews. No wonder HireVue wanted a chatbot, right?
That's cold, man. By the way, I think Max updated his LinkedIn photo. It's like quarantine Max in the photo. That kind of threw me off when I saw that post. Shout out to Fiverr. The gig economy is full steam ahead, apparently. I don't know if you've seen Fiverr's stock price recently, but it's done about a 3x since the depths of the quarantine and the COVID scare in March. No fear in those guys. People are joining the platform and finding a new gig, I guess.
People are looking to make money any fucking way they can. That's what it is. Here's a video that I want everybody to, or actually it's a series of videos that I want everybody to go to YouTube and check out because it made me smile, made me laugh, and it just lightened up my entire day. So this little 10-year-old girl named Nandi, N-A-N-D-I, she's a 10-year-old drummer who challenged David Grohl to an epic drum battle, and it's turned into some of the best back and forth music content on the internet. If you haven't checked it out on YouTube, just search Nandi, David Grohl, and you're welcome. This kid is amazing. She is, and David Grohl, he's just a really amazing dude. And to watch them interact back and forth, I think she's over in the UK. it's fun. Like you were talking about comedians, we need something in 2020 that's going to make us lively and laugh. And this does.
Dave Grohl is just such a national treasure, isn't he?
I love him.
And speaking of your welcomes, beerdrop.net, everybody. We're giving away a chance to get free beer on Adzuna via Chad Cheese. It has its own website. Damn it, it's so important. Beerdrop.net. If you haven't been, it's mobile friendly. Check it out. Give us your address. We'll pick from some sort of hat, I guess. And we'll send a nice Oktoberfest to some lucky winner this month to make 2020 just a little bit better for everybody.
That's right. That's right. And a quick suggestion on Netflix, and this is kind of a tease too. Go out and watch the documentary Capital on Netflix. And we're just teasing that because one of the people involved we might be talking to sometime soon.
You're such a tease. T-shirts, shout out. Guys, if you want a new Chad and Cheese 2020 quarantine edition t-shirt, you got to head out to chadcheese.com/free. Again, give us your address. We'll pick from a hat some lucky winners. These shirts are dope. They're suede. They're nice fitting. They even look good on me. So check it out at chadcheese.com/free.
Who doesn't want free beer, t-shirts?
And speaking of teases, we're going to make 2020 a lot better coming soon.
Very soon.
A lot tastier.
Last but not least, don't forget Friendly Discourse is coming up. It's round two, October 27th. Holy shit, that's coming up fast. The topic is, do remote workers deserve less? Jim is going to be defending Facebook's docking employer pay when they move away from the expensive Silicon Valley or the different cities that are more expensive than moving out into the rural country, citing the cost of living adjustment. And that's where I just call bullshit. So watch the socials for all the registrations. If you're subscribed to the Chad and Cheese email list or Chad and Cheese in your pocket, Joel, tell them about Chad and Cheese in your pocket.
Who doesn't like a good vibration in your pocket, everybody? Get Chad Cheese on your phone via text. Just text the letters CC to 833-799-0321. Again, that's text CC, the letters, to 833-799-0321. We're building that thing up close to 100 now. Sign up, kids. Get Chad and Cheese in your pocket. You'll be glad you did.
This is how we do it. Topics!
Oh, shit. This is a live feed from the Career Builder IT security department. What a dumpster.
Seriously, dude, I was hoping not to talk to about Career Builder until 2021. Their stupid $300 million in 3 years bait and switch press release, the sale of Text Kernel.
They're the gift that keeps on giving, Chad.
And then this. So go ahead and let's jump back into the dumpster fire. Jesus.
Where to begin? So last week, somebody had sent us an FYI that Career Builder site was down. I think this was Thursday or Friday after we recorded the weekly show. So sure enough, you went to Career Builder and it was down. And through Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, the whole site just took a shit. So then the rumors sort of started coming in. By Monday morning, the letters to customers and partners started coming out from the CEO, Irina Sokanova, or whatever her name is, the head of security, IT, like, we're working on this problem. I want to say by Monday, Tuesday, they had Career Builder proper job search up and running, but you couldn't go to like hiring.careerbuilder.com. Then we started getting word that all the ATSs, all the sites that Career Builder was powering, were down.
Yep.
And here we are Thursday, a week later. The job search seems to be working, but ATSs are down. Hiring is down. The site, it's still down. And so what multiple sources are telling us that this was a ransomware attack. I'm no cybersecurity expert, but basically what happens is someone gets into your system, gets in, and then puts a nice little cryptic security key to access your databases and all your good stuff. And Career Builder apparently paid a lot of money to get the key to the castle. And apparently what I heard, even that they had put a key on the backups.
Allegedly.
And that nothing could be accessed. So they bought the key, but shit in the database is still screwed up. Rumor has it that they're calling up all the engineers that they fired, trying to contract them to get them to come back and like fix this shit. But it's a total dumpster fire. I mean, this we could have seen this coming, right? Apollo came in. Irina, who has no business as a financial person to be head of this company, a multi-million dollar job board. They fired everyone who knew anything. And this is what happens. There's going to be firings, I assume.
Who are they going to fire? They fired everybody who mattered.
Anthony Dupree, who is officially the chief information security officer. I don't know how he keeps his job and all this. Lee Margaret Stull, who was just promoted to chief product officer, probably won't be fired, but she's in the department that sort of oversees all this stuff. It's a bad situation. They're probably going to have to give refunds to a bunch of people.
Yeah, they sent out a grid with the actual products, ATS, job posting, career site, talent discovery, and when their targeted dates of actually getting back online, and then the support that was offered. And I mean, really, this seriously isn't a laughing matter, although Career Builder have made themselves a laughing stock with the $300 million announcement and now not being able to address security. I mean, decimating their engineering staff, their development staff, their security staff, all of this. If people cannot see, especially clients cannot see that this is a burning dumpster fire. I don't know what else they need. I mean, this is ridiculous. And it's just, I can't believe we're talking about Career Builder again.
Well, I mean, look, businesses are built on trust, right? And, you know, to a certain level, you know, I think Monster had a breach of identity theft, or somebody got into the resume databases, and that's sort of common. But when you start losing trust in terms of your customers losing trust and your ability to stay open, to keep their own career sites open.
Your ATS.
This is so awful on so many levels. And yeah, it is sad to see this happen. And I don't think you can immune Apollo from this either. They've got egg on their face. I mean, they put in charge who they did. They made the decisions that they have. It has yet to explode on sort of the news circuits. And we're sort of the first ones sort of talking about this. I haven't seen anybody reporting on this at all. But this is a big story. Like, this should be national news kind of stuff.
Yeah, you almost wonder if this just means that Career Builder has definitely jumped the shark and they're not even newsworthy anymore. Again, I can't believe we're actually talking about them, but this is big. I mean, this in itself puts the nail in that coffin.
This is a multi-million dollar company that has people in charge of making sure this stuff doesn't happen, and it did, and it's really, really bad. This is an ongoing story, but it seems to be the state of affairs at CareerBuilder that the dumpster fire rages on.
Well, let's jump into something more positive. We saw a press release that iCIMS won an HR Tech Award this week, and I dove into it. I don't think that's really that much of a big story. Although the award was around their snuggling up to Microsoft. And remember, Microsoft has a failed applicant tracking system in Talent 365. Mm-hmm. LinkedIn needs an enterprise tech strategy for talent. iCIMS has a new CEO, new coat of paint with the new iCIMS branding and messaging.
Yep.
What does this feel like for you?
Yeah, well, first of all, you know, anytime you win, quote, top HR product of the year, it's always a nice thing to have. But yeah, this integration of Microsoft and Teams just sort of reeks of, I don't know, if you're into baseball analogies of relationships. I mean, they're turning second at this point and headed to third. Michael Wilczek, chief strategy officer at iCIMS, said in the release. He said, quote, "This partnership is based on a shared desire to transform the workplace, reinvent the hiring team experience, and better embed HR into the workflow, uniting the communication and collaboration capabilities of Microsoft's apps with the power of the iCIMS Talent Cloud accelerates hiring and enables employers to fill open roles faster and with fewer hurdles." So there's some definite heavy petting that's going on here. And I don't think that either one of us is going to be shocked when we get the announcement that Microsoft has acquired iSIMS.
Well, and all over LinkedIn over the past, I don't know, few months, we're seeing people try to compare Zoom to Teams. Which one is better? You know, which one should I use? And it's pretty simple. I mean, Zoom plus Slack equals Teams. And iSIMS is integrated into Teams. We're in a remote situation. Teams is amazing from a productivity standpoint. And again, trying to leverage video, trying to leverage a Slack type of an environment, automated interview scheduling, receive instant feedback within Teams without having to manually request that information from hiring managers and interviewers, improve candidate experience with self-scheduling capabilities, collaboration with Teams to better integrate HR into the workflow. So we talked about a few months ago when AI for Jobs integrated with Salesforce. And we said, that's big. And we had a bunch of people in the industry say, that's not a big deal. It is. When you can actually get into this kind of scale, and iSIMS has scale in themselves. So this is a much larger story than that one. But when iSIMS has this kind of tech in scale and ability and the opportunity to prospectively fill a huge gap that LinkedIn and Microsoft can't fill, tell me this isn't fucking big.
By the way, you mentioned the rebranding, which I don't think you should discount for the mere fact that it's iSIMS Talent Cloud now.
Yeah.
If you're in the dating world, and not that you are, but if you really like blondes, right, and a girl wanted to get your attention, she would sort of highlight that I'm blonde, right? So to me, iSIMS is sort of saying like, hey, cloud, because Microsoft is all about cloud, as is everybody else. So Microsoft, when they're able to say we've acquired iSIMS, most people wouldn't know what the hell iSIMS was, but now they can say iSIMS Talent Cloud, which looks a lot better to shareholders and might just boost that share price a little bit.
Well, and don't forget, Microsoft has been using iSIMS for years as their applicant tracking system. So yes, Microsoft's talent acquisition team and recruiters do not use Talent 365. They use iSIMS, and they have been for years. So I think, again, you know, you talked about Mike Wilczek. The dude is amazing, and he's on the M&A side, on the obviously acquisition side of the house, but also targets for prospectively being acquired, I'm sure. This is getting gussied up, going to the gym, getting ready for that date.
By the way, LinkedIn has an ATS. I guess they're like not all that interested in what they're doing.
Yeah, not enterprise.
All right, let's take a break and we'll come back and talk about .jobs. Jesus.
Huh?
JobVibe, the leading end-to-end talent acquisition suite.
Named a leader in ATS, recruitment marketing, CRM, and onboarding on G2.
Kim B says JobVibe is a user-friendly, passionate enterprise team that takes care of you. Jolly good.
Jeffrey R says, candidates are constantly telling us we get it right compared to other orgs. Love that.
Results driven by AI.
Connections built by humans. JobVibe. Learn how you can evolve your TA function at JobVibe.com.
Chad, we got a press release just came across the wire. It looks like Beavis and Butthead will now be in charge of CareerBuilder because they can do a better job than what's going on right now.
That's a step up. That's a step up. So you saw like an article this week and you sent it my way, and it was about .jobs. So what got you interested in that?
Well, so you and I both have history here. Employ Media, who launched .jobs back in 05, 06, somewhere around there. Cleveland-based company. I was actually in some of the early meetings as far as what we're going to do and how should we market this thing. I was helping them with some SEO stuff at the time. And they've taken quite an evolution throughout the last 15 years or so of their existence. And they started out as simply, hey, we're partnered with Sherm. We're going to sell the .jobs domain to companies that are sort of legitimate businesses, have HR departments, et cetera. That evolved into partnering with your old organization, Direct Employers, to build out 40,000, I think, domains. Of course, that got everybody pissed off in the job board space. And I can remember you at at an event that Weddle put on way back in the day about
San Diego,
the .jobs business. business model. And then I've sort of lost touch since then. I know they were still selling .jobs, and I know direct employers, they were doing career sites, but I've sort of lost touch since then. And then a listener sent us this story from, I guess, a domain news site. I mean, it wasn't even an employment site, talking about how .jobs and their agreement with employment or direct employers, like there was a lawsuit, it's been settled. We know Recruit Rooster was launched, which is sort of what the .jobs partnership was about, and that's been eliminated or terminated. So now it looks like .jobs is just going to like do some sort of wholesale. Anybody can get it, auction. You know, GoDaddy buy .jobs for whatever you want, which is usually what happens with domains. So that was the story. You still have a pretty close relationship, or I guess some connection there. So you might have some insight as well. What have you heard, or whether on or off the record?
Yeah, I don't see them doing any type of auctions. I don't see that happening anytime soon. If they did, I think it'd be great, but I just don't see employee media doing that. They can. It's in their agreement. They actually went to court against ICANN to be able to make it happen. And so they can do it. They just, they're just deciding not to.
When you say auction, you mean they're not going, they won't make .jobs available to anybody.
Yeah, not just anybody. Yeah, there's, okay, so think of it this way. EDU is very restrictive in how you get a .edu, and .com is not restrictive at all. Anybody can have a fucking .com. .jobs lands in about the middle. There are some restrictions, but it's not as tight as EDU, and it's not as loose as .com. So you have to meet the criteria. You can always request to have a .jobs domain, but it doesn't mean that you're going to get it.
So they go in and sort of, there's a manual process of like, who are you and does this make sense? Are you a legitimate organization? And then they release it if they deem necessary.
Yeah. And it's to be a trusted space on the internet. They don't just want anybody having one of their domains. They want to make sure that they're
the original idea, from what you understand.
I don't think any of that's changed at all. And people actually buying it versus what we did at Direct Employers, in concert of putting tech underneath the domains and doing that with employee media. Yeah. So I don't think any of that's changed. I do think that there is an opportunity. We're talking about LinkedIn a little bit earlier, and I was thinking, you know, who has the brand power and money to prospectively leverage something like this? And I would think of LinkedIn and Microsoft, because Bing is pretty much worthless compared to Google. What could Bing do to be able to do something different, to be able to try to gain market share away from a Google? And how could LinkedIn use these different domains to do the same kind of thing? So I think that type of brand power could do something, but you know, something that is you know, kind of like lower shelf, like direct employers. It was a great idea. It was a great concept. It was fun. It was a great experiment, but just not enough power. No way.
Yeah, Bing has Bing for Jobs, but it's all LinkedIn postings. So they actually do it, but it doesn't have a broad reach of, you know, value to people. So the numbers around this, I didn't know. So the story that was shared about the domain said basically like they had sold 8,000.
I think it was in 2010. That was what the numbers were at.
I'm assuming it's grown over the years. Let's hope for their sake. So it's about $200 a year to have one of these. So, I mean, it's around a $2 million a year business. If that's what the business is, I mean, that's nothing to sneeze at. It's obviously not .io or something, but it's it's a living. So, yeah, so we'll be watching this space carefully. The players that were there then are still there. So the relationship is there. Hopefully they'll keep us up to date on what's going on, and maybe come on the show sometime and tell us what's going on.
Yeah. I think, again, if there's a big brand out there that wants to try to get outside of the box and leverage an entire top level domain that has the money and the wherewithal and the actual engagement that the candidates and the engagement, there could be some cool stuff that happens, but I think it's a long shot.
We also have, they have .employee as well, don't they?
I can't remember.
And there's a .careers, which I don't think is them. So there's a competing.
No.
And I want to say they bought like a real estate centered domain. So this is kind of their business. So it makes sense that they would sort of stay in that lane. Keep in touch, .jobs. We're watching. Oh, you know what I love after a good dinner, Chad?
I like a good Oreo.
Oreo cookies. And you're loving their new ad campaign.
Yeah, so everybody stick around here. This is about employer branding.
Stick around. Grab a glass of milk and an Oreo, everybody.
Yeah, it's gonna be there. So this is a 3-minute video which tells a story and ends up with a message the Oreo brand obviously embraces. So you watched it. You give me a kind of like your critique of the video.
Yeah, so it's a couple of young ladies, I'm going to say in their 20s. They pull up in the car visiting parents from college or wherever they're living. They see mom. Hey, mom, how's it going? Mom gives hugs. They come in. Dad's there. Dad's a little more stoic, a little more, he's sort of suspicious or hesitant to embrace the situation, I guess. He sees over the course of the commercial, like, these two women really love each other. They're good friends. They're affectionate. And over the time, he unfreezes, right? He thaws out. He sees a scene where the neighbor sees the two girls being affectionate and sort of gives them a, a stare like not approving whatsoever. And then at the end, the father paints what used to be a white picket fence, which I think is really sort of symbolic of the 1950s, white picket fence. He takes the fence. He paints the fence into a rainbow shade of multicolors. The daughter comes out, sees it. It's warm. They hug. I love you. And then the girlfriend hugs the dad, too, which is really cool. And he obviously is loving that whole moment. And then it's like really nice. Warm and fuzzy Oreo cookie, da da da. And so, not only is the commercial great, but you love it from a D&I perspective, a recruitment perspective, and I agree with that as well.
I had somebody ask me, why are they using this message to sell cookies? And it's a great question, but I don't think that's the right question because I believe this is bigger than just cookies. Mm-hmm. And think of Nike getting behind Cap. Were they doing it to sell shoes or declare who they are? Apparently, they got both because that's what happened. They did declare who they were and they did sell a shitload of sneakers.
Yep.
Now, step away from the product for a second. Think about this from a talent perspective. If you see a commercial and you do not align with those viewpoints, you more than likely won't apply for the job at Oreo.
Yeah.
And if you do align with the message, you'll probably be more likely. So remember, this message is about the people behind the cookies and behind the brand. Mm-hmm. It's what they believe in. It's the purpose. There are hundreds of other cookies that are out there, right? What makes Oreo different? Why buy a fucking Oreo, right? They're giving you a reason. And remember, buying a package of cookies is just transactional. It doesn't really mean much. But when you're applying for a job, you're saying, I'm going to give you my blood, sweat, and tears, 40 hours a week, possibly weekends. That's not a snap decision.
Yeah.
That's where a message like this means something. And as a brand, we have to recognize the power that these types of messages bring because it molds our workforce composition and our culture. So back to the question of how does this help you sell cookies? That's not the point.
To me, it echoes, you and I love this trend. And we talked about Patagonia, I think recently, Airbnb. And I mean, this is certainly hot, but this was something you and I talked about, I want to say 3-4 years ago when the Audi commercial came out with the Soapbox Derby and daughter
girls.
I'm going to get choked up talking about it, but the daughter in the Soapbox Derby racing the boys and the father saying, what am I supposed to tell her that she can't compete, that she's not as good and da da da.
Yes.
And then they leave the Derby in the Audi. So that was many years ago. Audi was sort of ahead of the curve, but this still echoes in that same vein. And you and I both love this ad campaign, this strategy. And you have to be able to say goodbye to 5-10% of your customers, be able to be embraced by the 90%.
Yeah.
We talked about NASCAR, right? And the Confederate flag. You think NASCAR knew, they knew they were going to lose some people by that decision, but they also knew they're going to be embraced by a bigger number and they're going to be on the right side of history. And I think brands are getting got the memo. And this is another example, a great example in this case of Oreo really getting on board the right side of history.
Yeah, it's very simple, people. We have to stand for something. We can't be milquetoast. We can't be, you know, middle of the road. We have to stand for something. And there's nothing wrong with that. In HR and in talent, we have not wanted to pick a side. And it's okay to be able to pick the sides. It's who you are. It's what a culture is. So you have to stand for something. And that's exactly what Oreo did.
If you don't stand for something, You'll fall for anything.
Your recruiting toolkit needs to be lean and mean as you adjust with fewer resources, tighter budgets, and rapid hiring needs in a saturated and competitive market. Posting jobs shouldn't be a lengthy, risky, or fruitless process. You can count on JobAdX to be your force maximizer. Automate the details of your programmatic job ad distribution, candidate targeting, and budget management so you can focus your energy on the big picture and human aspects of recruiting top talent. Reach relevant candidates effortlessly across 200 sites in the U.S. and Canada. Simply upload a feed of your jobs and set your budget in less than 5 minutes. We do the rest. Getting an influx of applicants already that just aren't the right fit? JobAdX presents your jobs to targeted candidates based on their job preferences to get granular. Now your advertising spend can go towards more relevant candidates, not just more applicants. What's more, your JobAdX programmatic campaigns now reach the government job bank systems in over 30 states, giving you centralized access to the majority of active job seekers eager to get off of unemployment and get back to work. Send us a note today with your unique challenge to see how we can help you in the new state of recruiting. Make the next step forward and start your results-focused campaign now at jobadx.com. That's JOBADX.com.
All right, we're going to play a game. Some companies got money. I'm going to give you the name and the description, and you're going to buy or sell. Are we good?
Do we have a bell for this? I feel like I'm on firing.
There we go.
Okay.
All right. Number one, JobGet gets $2.1 million in funding. JobGet leverages AI matching technology to bring together qualified hourly job seekers with nearby businesses looking to hire. Employers use the in-app messaging and video chat features to schedule interviews in real time. Buy or sell?
Sell.
All right.
You don't want me to say why. So I'll just say sell.
Winning Temp gets 15.1 million euros in funding. Winning Temp's AI and science-based employment engagement platform has become a mainstay for companies attempting to ensure morale is maintained during a time of remote working. Mm-hmm. Buy or sell?
Buy.
Whew, that's a lot of money. I'm going to sell. Claire gets $4.5 million in seed funding. Mm-hmm. Yes, seed funding. Claire, an early stage fintech company based in New York City, wants America's 82 million hourly workers and 57 million gig workers to get paid as quickly as Uber pays their drivers today. Mm-hmm. Instantly. Buy or sell?
Buy, buy, buy.
I would buy that one big time. No question.
Is that the game?
That's the game.
All right, cool. That was easy. Well, let's talk about beatdowns and in this god-awful show.
Beatdowns.
So Florida is going to Florida, everybody. So a story out of Florida this week. A dude who owns a Florida barbecue got a bad review on Yelp, a couple bad reviews, and then physically attacked this dude, allegedly. This is all allegedly, but it probably happened. It's Florida. So he goes and he beats this dude down, a 25-year-old who ended up being, they found out, was the son of the barbecue owner's girlfriend. So he literally goes to this house because of these reviews, and apparently the dude that he attacked, they were in the street, like running around. He attacked him, tackled him. The cops show up and then take him away. The story was, quote, he shoved his way past the door and started to chase the victim around in the road. Yeah, this is actually in the news. Eventually, after the victim tripped and fell to the ground, Aaron stopped. He jumped on top of him and struck him several times as the victim covered his face in his arms. So basically, it sounds like there was a lover's quarrel. The woman's son said, F this guy. I'm going to deep six his business with bad Yelp reviews. the Yelp reviews were pretty classic.
Yeah. Shit barbecue and verbally assaulting people. Yeah. He's pretty much said.
Yeah. I wouldn't call this barbecue. Hell, I wouldn't even feed it to my dog. Maybe the owner should spend less time threatening customers and more time learning to cook properly. Another one star review he allegedly left was worst customer service in Florida. Not a great idea to threaten your customers due to you serving garbage barbecue. Hell of a story there in Florida. My question is, what the hell do you have to do in Florida to get arrested? Because this guy committed some other crime before this and got out on a misdemeanor with a fine of $575. And he apparently took a wooden board to strike a vehicle of this woman that he was dating and threatened her. And then he's probably going to get out on this with just a warning. So you got to do some real bad shit in Florida to get arrested, apparently.
Dude, it's 2020. None of this shit surprises me at all.
It is 2020, for sure. It's a fucking horror show, everybody.
We out.
Thank you for listening to, what's it called? A podcast. The Chad. The Cheese. Brilliant. They talk about recruiting. They talk about technology. But most of all, they talk about nothing. Just a lot of shout-outs of people you don't even know, and yet you're listening. It's incredible. And not one word about cheese. Not one. Cheddar. Blue. Nacho. Pepper Jack. Swiss. So many cheeses, and not one word. So weird. Anywho, be sure to subscribe today on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. That way, you won't miss an episode. And while you're at it, visit www.chadcheese.com. Just don't expect to find any recipes for grilled cheese. It's so weird. We out!
The Jim Stroud Podcast explores the discoveries and trends forming the future of our lives. Brain-to-brain communication, robot bosses, microchip implants for workers, and artificial intelligence replacing human workers are all happening now. If you want to know what's happening next, subscribe now to the Jim Stroud Podcast.